This program was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee.
I'm delighted here to see Michael Hussey here waiting for me to have a chat with him about the area here and his memories.
What a wonderful sight, Kay, just as you're turning the bend here by the grotto and coming onto Pier Square, or as we know it, is the Dev Square, the beautiful facade of the Dev there. It's kind of like that horizontal structure. It's a bit kind of offbeat from the other type of architectural buildings going into Friar Street. And what a wonderful sight when you turn the corner and you just see the clock gate peeping out in front of you for the towns and for the tourist people. As well.
The particular things here now in this square, I suppose, would be Sheehan's garage. It was a big thing long ago. Nearly the whole place.
It did, and the reason being they had a wonderful forecourt, as you can see it's still here and it's stretching out, and what a magnificent forecourt it was, and the white facade of Sheehan's garage. My memories of it was Mossy and Patrick Sheehan were operating it there. Their sons would be Brian Sheehan of the Marine, the late Brian Sheehan, the late Billy Sheehan, Michael Sheehan, living up in the up Payman's Hill now, which is another amazing place that I remember as a kid, because we used to go to school from the terrace, and our route down, everyone walked, of course, we didn't get cars or buses or none of that kind of modern stuff, and walked down, wind, rain, snow or whatever, and that was our route down. Our shortest route down was Payman's Hill or Wymill Hill, leading down onto Wymill Lane, sometimes the steps, but more often than not, it was Payman's Hill, going on to this place here, Devonshire Square, going in to the beauty spot of the Presentation Convent, or the other one, the primary school, yes, down in the Strand Street. Sometimes we used slide, or be thrown down there, because there was I remember back in the 60s, there was offsheets that used to come from Murray Kitchens, they were formica, and they were very sharp, and there used to be all sorts of shapes, a rectangular and the regular shapes and all that kind of stuff, and we used sliding them, we'd catch the front of it and use sliding them on the gutter part of the Payman's Hill coming down. We'd be going down at 60 miles an hour, we didn't give a damn, and how, where you'd end up in the gutter or whatever down below, you'd reef your hands off yourself and your shins and your feet, and we did, we were reefed but we loved every minute of it.
Looking around here now, someone that comes to my mind here was a man of the Cotters that used to live in this area, involved in the GAA.
There's great people that lived here. There was the Cotters, the Cahoes, the Murphys, the Coopers, the Bonbon Coopers. There's so many. Sylvie Rowan's shop, I remember going up there, the Fahies, the best cones in Ireland was the Fahies and the Hurleys, of course. But the Cotters, the Rebel Cotters, steeped in GAA. Speaking of legendary on the field, not just the GAA, but again leading off here, from Payman's Hill, going on to South Cross, we used to go into Murphy's Row and play soccer inside here. Not particularly me, because I was a terracer, but the people from the area. And again, this area, everyone would have had a bonfire night. Now, we had it, as you know, the ones gay up in the terrace, and there was ones out the Strand, the Carkale and Tallaght Street.
Everyone.
The ones that had down the Mall, but the Friar Streeters had their own bonfire night, and they held that up in Murphy's Row and all that. And I believe there was great rivalry between the area here, Friar Street, the Dev, between here and just around the corner with the Maliners and the Strand Streeters. Like, it was a self-contained area. You had garages, pubs, shops, and the church.
I'm just meeting up here with David Kelly, who's going to give us a bit of background information about that building.
Dev, or Devonshire Arms Hotel, was built by the Duke of Devonshire, not surprisingly, since it carries his name. It was part of works that he was undertaking to influence elections in the early part of the 19th century. He did it in Dungarvan and Lismore. Not that much in Yall, but he built this hotel in... The contract was signed with the Mr. Leahy, I think it was in 1826. Somewhat special in that it was purpose designed. Yall already had some hotels, Studies Hotel, which is now the Moby Dick Bar, and the old Imperial was also there at that time. But it was intended as a coaching hotel to connect with the mail coaches that came from Cork. People would cross over to the ferry and continue their journey on the other side. So in at the back you had stabling for 12 horses and carriage houses for six coaches. Hotels were somewhat different then to what they are now, in that I actually have the plans, the original plans, but they don't have a dining room because people took a room and they took their food in the room. It continued on as a hotel right through the 19th century, different people owning the lease. First person, I think, was Charlotte Mary, and she had it for quite a long time during the early period, and then went through a few more. A couple of changes in the early years of the 20th century, and then sometime in the early 1920s, my aunt took it, Halpin. She was a Farrell, but she was married to Edward Halpin, and they took it. They had it up to the late 1970s. In her time there, it was really a commercial hotel in the winter and a tourist hotel in the summer. It did very well populated in the summer. It had a very good reputation for food. When she retired and sold it, it went through quick succession of people who actually never opened it. Mm-hmm. Or if they did, it didn't last long. And then finally the O'Sullivans bought it, Stephen O'Sullivan and his wife. And they made a significant success of it, continuing on until they retired, and unfortunately the recession came, and we now have a rather sad looking almost ruin. It would be nice to see it back in business, but alas, I'm not sure.
Growing up as a child, David, seeing that it was your aunt at the hotel, you must have been in and out there a good bit, were you? What would your memories be about it, as looking at it from a child's point of view?
Childhood, I suppose, the memory is quite different to hotels nowadays. The guests could wander in and out of the kitchen. They could see what was being prepared, decide which bit of meat they'd like, or whatever, just everybody. It was very free and easy in that way. I spent many, many lunch times peeling potatoes or clearing tables in the evening, and you know, it was a busy, busy place, especially at the weekend. Oh, great training, yeah. And of course, plenty of washing up and washing, you know.
Mm-hmm. About how many rooms are in it?
14 bedrooms. So it's not very big.
A medium size.
I mean, it would well be considered nowadays quite a small hotel.
Could I just take you back a bit there to when you spoke about it being a stopover, you know, for coaches and that. Is there any history about that time, you know, the amount of people that would have stayed there, was it?
Well, I think What you could definitely say is that the accommodation that they provided for the coaches gives an indication of the number of people.
I was thinking that.
Yeah. So and also the number of rooms. So you're probably talking about six people or eight people arriving on a coach, overnighting, and because a coach trip from Cork to you all would have taken all day going over. You know where the turret is on the other side of the
and
ferry
then
point.
They would have crossed over in the ferry then.
In the ferry
from here over to the ferry point.
Yeah.
And would there be other coaches there then to pick them up?
Yeah, there were stables, you know, the turret was part of the coaching system, so that's where they went and they picked up the coach to travel on.
So I'm walking along here by the Devonshire Arms Hotel coming up to Friar Street, and I'm just meeting up here with Finbar Hannan, and you'd know a lot about the area.
Here in this house now for about 47 years. I was married some way through that, and I was at Delaney's. Delaney's myself and Marie, but Marie passed away anyway, and eventually we came back here again. So yeah, some good memories. It's a great street to be on. It's a magic street, really, and when you think of it, two cinemas.
Yes.
And, you know, there's wonderful shops like Hurley's and Lombard's and Rohan's and Maggie Hayes. Very dark place.
Yes.
And it was a scary kind of a place, like you had to summon up all your courage to go in and buy something there. So Bridgie Quirk then was a handy one up there on the South Main Street. The Grotto, of course, is kind of a feature of Pier Square, put there in 1953. They got Seamus Murphy to make the statue, the image, and that was, of course, the image of Our Lady of Graces, or Our Lady of Yall. Many years ago, the Dominican fathers came across, or were called to down to Green's Quay to see a log in which there was a little effigy, a little the mother and child. Anyway, it was only about 3 inches or something like that. It's very small. It was embedded in the log, but nobody could move the log except the Dominican priors. They brought it into their own place, and it was there for about 100 years, and then it was brought up to Cork, where it still is with the Dominicans up in Cork. I remember there was a big to-do then about the hand being too big. He had it that way, Our Lady's hand, I think it was. It was supposed to kind of indicate the, you know, maternal instinct of protectiveness and that kind of thing, and looking after us all. Anyway, he came down, he reduced the size of the hand, and everybody was happy.
That was happy. So, it's opposite the Div there now, I think. Do I remember the Dr. Kennedy? Dr. Kennedy?
That's right. He was great. He was absolutely fantastic. Even when he was quite ill, like, I think it was with his heart, he'd come out at any time of the night and stay with the patient all night. And if there were stairs or anything like that, he might take, you know, do 3 stairs and stop and move on again. But he was a great man. And if people couldn't pay, then he just let them off and he treated them for free. Right next door there is the Methodist Hall, the Methodist Church. It goes back quite a ways. This was the manse, like, where the minister stayed and all that, you know, for the Methodist church community. This manse is new, comparatively. It was built in 1936.
Just here opposite, you know, Finbar, I'm just thinking of a character, Mary, that used to play the piano.
Oh, Mary Crowley.
Mary Crowley. Yeah, just opposite here.
That's a very musical row of houses over there. You know, the stacks here, you know, Core Stack. And then next door was Kathleen Toomey, or Kathleen Heffernan. Kathleen Heffernan was a lovely singer. And then above her, Bill Field, there would be music here then. Next door in the Methodist Church on Sunday mornings, smashing kind of an atmosphere there. And
you had a couple of shops along this street that aren't there anymore.
Orly's, fantastic business, like, with the people going to the cinema. And there used to be queues away down the street, like, for the cinema at that time, which was very popular. Lombard's. And it was fantastic ice cream there. The nicest ice cream you ever had. Well, there was some kind of a machine she had. She'd hold up and she'd put the wafer in, and then a big scoop of this fantastic ice cream they made themselves.
Homemade ice cream.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And she always did a bit of extra, like, and you could get penny wafers or tuppennies or anything like that. She was a lovely person.
Good morning, Sinead. We're talking about this part of the town now. You have some memories of the place yourself?
Well, I've got great childhood memories of Forestry, okay? I mean, I grew up around here. My grandmother lived here. She came to Yall in the early 1920s, and she settled in Friar Street and reared her family, and then we came along and we kind of lived in Friar Street, cousins and grandparents and aunts and uncles and the whole lot.
What do you remember about the street itself, the different shops and things along there?
Well, it was a very different street at that time. A lot has changed. I mean, there was a great, I mean, I'm sure there's still a great community spirit in Friar Street, but we had a great kind of sense of fun, and there was always activity in the street and young people playing in the street, and it was a wonderful, wonderful, magical place, as Finbar said. There was, remember the Bon Bons, had the Coopers, they had their restaurant there, and then there was the Coopers next to them. There was Mrs. what's her name at the corner there by the Google?
Fahey.
Mrs. Fahey, yeah, Mrs. Fahey's little shop, and Mrs. Ronan, and then the Spillans came then after Mrs. Spillan came after Sylvia Ronan, and then the Keys. They were there as well, there's a shop there. There was lots of little shops on the street, and there was Mrs. Hurley, she had her shop as well, and I suppose the Regal and the Abbey 1 and Abbey 2 were always there. And then Nan had the Googan Bar guest house, and I suppose I have great memories of visitors coming to the town and staying there, and she had people who stayed with her all year round as well. So it was a great kind, it was a kind of a hive of activity, and there was an awful lot of tourists kind of coming to the town. I suppose the attraction of the Abbey 1 and Abbey 2 across the road then as well, and the Regal up the Road as well. So it's a hub of activity.
Right next to the Googong Barrel there. So where Cooper's is now. What was there?
There was a garage, wasn't it? That was, remember? Alan, wasn't it? Yeah. Alan's garage, yeah.
And Jackie Wall Alan's. Was working there. Jackie Wall. Yeah. He was a wizard, like at mechanics and all this.
Hive of activity, wasn't it?
There was a lot going on there. Yeah,
and as we used to love like going back. I saw my own childhood memories in that we used to love going back to school and calling into Mrs. Hurley, and she'd have the block of ice cream, and she had this special implement, and she'd roll. She'd a special way of opening up the block of ice cream, flick of the knife, and she'd this special little implement. She'd roll it across the ice cream, and she'd mark the ice cream. And God and her man, she wouldn't go right or left of the mark. We'd all get her little waiver then, and we'd be standing there then with our eyes popping out, and we are licking our lips, looking at Mrs. Hurley. Make the wafers for us, so we still love that.
And can you remember what a wafer would cost in those?
Oh Lord, I can't, but I can tell you what a 10 cigarettes in a box of matches cost for <right. laughs> Then on the Sunday evenings, my cousins, they, after Nan left the Googong then, and she moved across the road to Arden Lee, that was on the site of the old Horgan cinema burnt down.
So it was burnt down, absolutely.
Yeah, so
the old Hearst cinema.
It was the old Hearst, so she built a house on that anyway, so she moved across the road then, and cousins moved in kind of thing, so we used to go up to the Regal on a Sunday afternoon with Uncle Tomas and see films like The Red Baron, which we'd absolutely no interest in, but anyway, looking at the big screen, it was fantastic. I suppose then the Abbey 1 and the Abbey 2, then you'd Mrs. Horgan across the road. She knew every child's age in the town. She knew her birthdays, and there was no way you'd get into an over 12s with Mrs. Horgan on the door.
Past the Regal Cinema, there was a pub and a kind of a nightclub or something there. Joe Maloney
was there, yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, and remember Miss Pussy used to come as it? Oh. And this be all the big acts used to come. That was a big draw, okay? That's a fierce draw altogether. And apparently he was very funny, and this be great crowds go to him as well. Yeah.
Way back it was Joe Maloney, a woman called Miss Dickinson, I think. And after that, then there were the Wrights brothers.
Oh, God.
And it was the first kind of a cafe or kind of ice cream parlour in Yall. And it was the only one, I think, ever, I'd say, was it as well. It was a lovely place altogether. It was beautiful, run by the Wrights brothers. And then after that, then you had McPadden's. So McPadden's. And then I went to Joe Maloney and Kieran Nolan.
For the ocean,
it was. It was a great place for the Voicey Hall.
Oh,
I remember it being packed and people out to the street there, like, and that was there.
It was mighty stuff all together, Finbar, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Mighty
the
Hall
on Eel singing. Oh my God.
And that was a fierce attraction, as you said, big crowds coming along and partaking and enjoying all the talent that was in the area.
On County Down.
We're walking here along Friar Street now. We've come along to a place which was Jacob Patsy's, now closed down. But once upon a time, this was actually Horgan's cinema. And here now I have with me Patricia Horgan, who is one of the Horgan family. Hello, Patricia.
Hello, Kay.
Could you tell us something about your memories of growing up as one of the Horgan family?
Well, we had a fabulous childhood because there were lots of cousins. We all lived together around the same area, so we spent our summers swimming, and then we went to a matinee, I think, three times a week. There was a matinee on Wednesday, Saturday and Sunday, so we picked whatever films we liked. We went in to see what was on, and if we liked it we stayed, and if we didn't like it we could just leave. My grandfather bought the cinema and he brought the land all around the cinema, so we each had a house, all lived around each other.
So what are your memories of, we'll say, going to the cinema as a young child?
Well, we had a great time, not only going to the cinema, but the cinema sometimes was our place to play, and so We used to play hunting in the cinema. We weren't allowed in, but we'd sneak in. And sometimes we played hunting along the backs of the seats until my aunt came and screamed at us to get out, to whoever was there, to get out. And at that stage, we'd all duck in under the seats and scamper off.
The cinema was well established by the time you came along. How the cinema got set up first day?
Well, originally, my grandfather and his brothers went out to all the country districts like Clashmore and Killa. They brought magic lantern slides or magic lantern shows. Eventually, then they built the cinema in 1917. They also played music in the cinemas. My grandfather played lots of different instruments. They played for all the silent movies. My aunt used to play for us occasionally, and she'd play the tunes she'd play. So if it was at the races, she'd play something really fast, and then she had all the different types of moods for the different films.
Maisie was a well-known character, wasn't she, in her day?
Oh, she certainly was, yeah.
She kept control of the children.
There was great control. You wouldn't be allowed to move if Maisie was there.
The cinema itself, the way the films were projected there, were different to the other cinemas?
It was a rear-facing projectors, so the film came out at the behind the screen and you saw it from the front of the screen. Funny story about once the doctor had come to one of the kids and he walked across the screen, and of course they saw the bag, and they said there was a big cheer from the cinema when they saw the shadow of the doctor walking across.
Before they got into actually making the movies, they were actually photographers.
They took photographs and they filmed lots of things. Like their earliest film was, that we know of, was 1903. They filmed King Edward and Princess Alexandra in Lismore Castle. So that was a great achievement, because Lumiere Brothers started filming in 1895, and in 1903 they made their first film.
I remember seeing some funny films that the Horgans made, like one where the Clockish is right, doing some kind of a jig.
Yeah, that's right. My grandfather was very funny, and I remember once he showed me how he made that film, and he had all the little pieces that he used for the town, and he showed me the whole lot. So he had the Clockie doing a little dance.
There must be a big archive of photos there now.
There are hundreds of photographs. We keep even finding ones that we hadn't seen before, and they're ones of people that they took for communions, confirmations, and all that sort of thing.
And what has been done with all those photos now?
Well, we gave them to the county library because they were able to enhance them and do what needed to be done with them. My father was fantastic. He kept all the negatives. They were glass negatives. They could deteriorate quite easily. He kept them all, and he kept them in a special cool room. So we were very fortunate there. After he died, we found all these. It was very exciting to find them. So the library have digitised them. They can be seen in the library. There's a special computer where you can see them. Yeah.
We're walking along Friar Street now, and we've arrived at the Regal Cinema, and I've just met up here with Killian. Good morning, Killian.
Good morning, how are you?
And you're going to bring us inside the cinema here now and show us around and say a few words about the place.
So yeah, the guys, when they bought it, they purchased it, I think of January of last year. It originally closed in 2010, just in the middle of the recession. So it was closed in 2010, 2018. The guys were two builders by trade, so they came in and, they tried to turn it into something special, which we think they did here. They tried to keep as much original features as they could. So as you can see from the outside of the building, it's still the exact same from when the doors closed. They just changed the colour of the paint, and we got a new font of the Regal sign up above. Makes us look like we're part of something in Miami or something when our name's in lights. Yeah. But, it's the original steps, the original tiles on the steps, the original doors when it closed down, they just got refurbished. The original door handles, small little details like that. So from the moment you walk into the lobby, you can see, all the tiles on the floor are the exact same. Some of the layout has changed a bit. When you came into the old cinema, your concession was on the left, and then on the right it was just a wall full of posters, but we moved our drink station over there. The toilets are where they were. There used to be a ticket desk just over there, but that's now gone. As you walk down the corridor, we can remember the old cinema being three screens. We changed that into two screens, so we have our main cinema, which has the capacity of 139, so you have 116 seats downstairs, and we have 23 premium seats upstairs in our mezzanine level. Seats up there are a small bit more expensive, but You're a perfect eye level to the seat. You have big red plush velvet seats imported from France to give that extra level of comfort. Then you have our smaller screen, which is the capacity of 60. It has that home theatre feel, but you know, it's nice and cosy in there. The guys went all out with state-of-the-art projectors, so they got the best projectors they could. So they got ultra 4K Sony projectors, they got the best sound system. It was kind of out with the old projectors, in with the new, because as you know technology keeps growing and growing, so you know, we have to try to keep up with that. And you know, we need to be different as well, you know, because there's so much things online, you know. You have Netflix and Sky Movies, and you know, what's the difference of watching one at home and watching one in the cinema? You know, you have movies that are made for the big screen. Like my favourite one that I've seen this year probably be Bohemian Rhapsody when it came out, the story of Freddie Mercury and Queen. Unbelievable. The soundtrack, listening to the speakers, was just unbelievable. As you walk into the main screen, you see we kept the original stage, original facade around the screen. We have all the old air vents still, you know. The guys tried to keep it as original as they could. Never an upstairs part, obviously. There was never a mezzanine in the old cinema, so the guys kind of, we'll say, they cut off half of the third screen to build the stairs. So the stairs are purposely built to bring you upstairs to the mezzanine level. So once you go in there, you just see, you know, that it's just, you know, it's breathtaking once you go in there, and you realise, you know, this is a hidden gem, not just in y'all, but you know, in East Cork or Munster or even Ireland. You know, we try to keep everyone happy and we do the best we can. The same with our movie selection as well. You know, we do Polish nights for the Polish community in town and surrounding areas.
That's very important.
Exactly, we do charity events for all charities. Our most recent one was we showed the feature documentary about Gaza and the Gaza Strip. We done another charity event for Make-A-Wish Foundation, which was very successful as well. We do special screenings for the likes of St. Raphael's. Come down to us once a month, they come in and watch a movie. You know, it's nice for them to be able to get out and, you know, to come down here and relax and watch a movie. It might be something they might get up above or they might not, you know. We do anniversary screenings, we bring back old titles. So our last one was Fight Club. We've done the likes of Alien and The Wizard of Oz for its 80th anniversary.
And it must be great for children.
Exactly.
To have a cinema on their doorstep.
Exactly. When we first, I can remember we first opened, we had The Incredibles 2 was probably our biggest kids movie when we first opened. Like that, when the kids are finished their movie, you know, we're always waiting outside. We always give them a lollipop when they go out, you know. It's just them extra little details that are huge for a kid, you know. Maybe they might be up to their eyeballs and sugar levels, but I'm sure one lollipop when they're leaving, you know, isn't too bad. Around Christmas time, we always do our pajama parties. So they come in the morning at 11 o'clock in their pajamas, bring a blanket, watch an old movie on the screen. So last year, we done the Muppets Christmas Carol. Santa makes a special visit, you know, how busy he'd be. But he pops in for a half an hour, an hour to have a chat with the kids.
Walking along here now, and we've come to the end of Friar Street, and we're coming on to the South Main Street. Just met up here now with Margaret Kelleher, who used to be Margaret Buttermer. What your memories of those times are?
First shop on the way down was Fox's, and Michael had two aunts, the Miss MacDonalds, and they had a lovely shop there, sweets and ice creams. And in fact, our Patsy, Sister Noreen in America, Patsy Buttermer, loads of it. Patsy worked there
someday
when she was 11 years old. Next door then you had their nephew, Michael Fox. He was a barber, and of course he was known as the man with the educated fingers. And he used to say, who's the best man in town when I'm out of it? I mean, he was a bespoke, really, barber. He was wonderful, and he had very, very high standards. And he told me himself, actually, that he had one particular customer. He was a well-heeled man now, who went in. Imagine in those days, way back in the 50s, he went in and had a magnificent head of hair. He had that washed and styled every day with waves in his hair.
That was done. Imagine being able to afford that when there were poor fellas who couldn't go in to have their hair cut, let alone done every day. In the 50s, the next place was Mrs. Pine. Kay, I'm sure you'd remember Mrs. Pine.
I do
Pine.
Remember Pine.
She was, well, to me, she was elderly, and she was a very gentle, lovely lady. And she had all bric-a-brac and toys and you name it, she had everything. And you'd be very happy to go into her because she was so gentle and so nice and so kind and welcoming. And that after, of course, was Paddy Lavin's solicitors. Next door then you had Ty Goggin lived there. And of course that was Cromwell's Arch down the lane. And you had Murphy's Bakehouse, where we were all delighted with because we loved their bread. And on top of that, if anybody was sick or anything in the middle of the night, you could run down there and use the phone to call the doctor because nobody had any phones. After the Cromwell's Arch, you had Freddie Barrett. Freddie, whom we'll never forget, he did, and Mrs. Barrett, Kitty, they had a beautiful shop. And it was so clean. And he had a wonderful business. And I used to say to him, Freddie, I'll come up to give you a hand. And he'd say, what for, but? And I'd say, you're laughing all the way to the bank. I'll give you a hand to carry the money up. I stop that noise. After Freddie, we had the Clock Tavern and the famous Biddy and Tommy McCarthy. Then we had the famous Lil Hearn. Remember Lil with that shop? Oh, mother of God. We were scared of her. Angela Lawler. A great shop again. Another one of those Aladdin's caves. When you went in, you didn't know what you were going to find in there. And I always remember, Kay, do you remember that? She used to have this little box with all these... God, we thought it was wonderful. She had all the rings with your birthstone. And it was three old pennies. Might as well have been 3,000 because there wasn't a hole. Your father had had 3 pennies in the week, let alone buying the ring. He might come up with some few, Bob. And we'd get the ring. And it wouldn't last 5 seconds, the ring. I remember one particular car. There was this tiny little man with a bowler hat and this big, big, tall woman strolling down a lane. Love will find a way.
Innocent.
That was Lil Hearn.
Yeah.
So the next thing then after Lil, there was Mrs. Forrest. They were baking. As well,
yeah.
they were very gentle. They were lovely people, and their son and daughter Gregory and Joni, Mrs. Delaney, the bargain stores.
Mm.
We thought that was fabulous because an article was this price at that price, but there it was what it said, the bargain stores. Then when we were very small, Kay, do you remember there was a shop flats afterwards, McMahon's?
Oh yes,
there was a Mrs. McMahon.
Yes, that's right.
Stern.
I think I can remember Eileen Hamilton's family
they
living
lived over
there.
There. They were flats.
Yes,
my farthest back memory of that is the Yall Tribune. Yall had its own paper.
Oh, nice.
And that
yeah.
came out every weekend. And all the local dope and the you know, announcements for the dances, which there were loads of dances and the pictures and the organs and thing about all that would be on that. That was the Yall Tribune. And after that then, John Manny the bookie had it.
Oh,
and
yes.
Yeah, he had it. And then his wife, Veronica, opened a beautiful boutique. I'd say it was the first of its kind, very high class, beautiful clothes. And she was there for a long time. And then in 1963, we bought it. We came home. We started a hairdressing business there. And we were there from 1963 to 1999.
So we're walking along the South Main Street here. And we've just come to what used to be Power's Pub, well known by all the locals. And I'm talking here now to Kevin Power. And Kevin's going to tell us a bit of his memories of the South Main Street when he was growing up.
I was born in South Main Street in a pub in 18 South Main Street, back in the early 30s, JD's. There was a forging there.
Oh.
Yes, as far as I can remember, it was Merrily. And I'd say it must have closed up in the late 30s. And next door then to that was Kate Daly's, where JD's is now.
Yes.
And Kate and her sister were two spinsters. Spinsters in the old days were women who never got married. The men were called widowers. Kate and her sister ran a good pub there. And then next door to Kate Daly's was Miss Burke. She was an aunt of Billy Burke.
Billy Burke,
and
yeah.
When she passed on, she left the shop to Billy. You could put a few bob down on things and get them at Christmas.
Yeah.
Next door to Burke's was P.J. O'Gorman. And P.J. was a very important man in town because not only had he a big draper shop, he was Senator O'Gorman. Fine Gael, that's back in the 50s or 60s, I'm sure.
Where you grew up now, in the pub, we'll say, was that just a small pub at that time?
It was, yes. Quite, as a matter of fact, it was quite small, because in every pub that time, there were snugs. And I remember there were two snugs in our pub, and there was only about 6 feet of counter, and the rest was taken up by snugs. Snugs in the old days were like the present lounge bars. They were for the ladies, if they felt like it, to have a little drink for themselves.
Mm.
And it was also for private men who didn't want to be mixing with the main bar people went in there for their drink. Every pub in town had a snug. Mm-hmm. You had to have a snug. Some places had two snugs.
Can I ask you now, like your father that had that bar, did his father before him?
No, he married into the pub.
Oh, right.
My father was Joe Power, he came from Mount Joniak, right. And he married Kitty Kennedy.
And did your father extend the pub then, or was it newer time got extended?
Next door to our pub was 19 South Main Street, and that was a grocery shop owned by Harry Long. And that closed quite early as well, because I can barely remember. I remember going into Harry Long's shop, and they had all the biscuits laid out in different compartments. And we used to go in that time for broken biscuits. So
you get them a bit cheaper.
You got those for a penny or twopence. Mm. But he had a big grocery shop there, went back a long way. And overhead his shop, there was a big apartment up there. And who lived up there were the Murphys. That became vacant, and my father bought it in 1944. We developed it into a lounge bar. I did that in 1968. Well, before that, my father had made a lounge bar of it. I completed the work in 1968.
We're walking along the South Main Street here, and I've just met up here now with Mary Linehan Foley. South Main Street is probably one of the places in the town that has changed a lot since your childhood.
Oh, 100%, Kay. I suppose for me, even if you just start even in Barry's Lane to head down the South Main Street from the Clock 8 down, along the street there, when I was growing up, would have been in the 70s, late 60s, 70s. You had the Harbour Lights, where the tourist office is now and where the snooker hall is now. Just between them, it used to be the fire station. And you'd ladies and gents toilets on the corner where the lovely flower bed, as we're looking at now, is in outside the tourist office. And there was a siren at the top of the toilets that used to go off to call the firemen back in the day. So that siren used to be like something from a war. And I remember when it would happen, I would run out of my room and into my mother and father. I used to be terrified. It used to sound like, you know, the real lonely war sound of a siren.
Yeah, a wailing sound.
A wailing sound. Yeah. And then, of course, we'd be all excited because we'd know the firemen are gone out. Mm. And we'd wait for them to come back, because there was a pole in the middle of the market square where they hung the hose to dry it out.
Nice, yeah.
So the Murphys on Kent Street, Tommy Murphy used to be the head of the fire brigade at the time. I suppose a big part for me was Youghal was, I suppose, a town and still is a town where I was lucky enough to grow up in the market square in the town centre, and that we had the Mall, we had loads of places to play. The likes of, we had the slaughterhouse down the quayside where was our playground again. We also had angling, which was a very big thing from the Harbour Lights in the Market Square. Used to happen every Sunday. Sunday evening, Sunday morning early, the anglers would go out. They'd come back Sunday evening. There used to be a kind of a railing where they'd hang their sharks. And we used to love it because we'd be running around, and a lot of fishermen, I suppose, and anglers came from Holland and from different areas. So really, I suppose, where I lived was the hub of activity always. The pub where I grew up in Moby Dick's, the anglers used to go there for their drinks across to the Harbour Lights, used to have music, and, you know, Market Square was, I suppose, the centre at the time.
Well, we've reached the end of our journey now, and I suppose we should stop now and reflect on our journey, have a think over all the different interesting places that we've seen along the way. You're part of, you know, Friars Street there and the lower South Main Street. Lots of changes around there.
South Main Street was a very big change from the time when we had the shop going there. My father worked, and my mother worked hard at that.
And who worked in that shop?
It was a time we had, you know, 22 people employed in that way.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
The bakery confectionery.
Yeah.
So the baking went on at night, baking the bread and all that. And I'll always remember the smell of it, you know, it was beautiful upstairs.
Yeah.
I used to sleepwalk a small, but inevitably I'd end up in the bakehouse. You know, the smell, the lovely smell of the fresh bread, and I starved, maybe, you know.
Can you remember that shop, Patricia?
I do remember it well, and I remember the bakery. Yeah,
yeah.
Well, I actually remember it when it was Farrell's, Before your father bought
That's
it.
That's right, Kevin.
And John A. Farrell, I think, was his name.
Yeah.
He was a tall man with a moustache.
Yes.
And he had horse vans on the road.
He had. And so had my father when he took
over. So had your father, yes.
So he used to go like in the covered wagon out of the... All over the countryside.
All over the countryside.
My uncles, Jim and Ned Harris, and I think my father did at one stage as well, worked for the Hannans.
I remember them very
and
well.
And they did the deliveries for the bread and the cakes whatever, and they went all over East Cork, and over West Waterford, and they used to love us, kind of, you know, driving around with a car and a van or whatever at that time.
Yeah.
I have a photograph of them, actually, with the old... van with the hand name on us. Yeah, that was Jim right, though, you know.
They're all past, great man, God bless him. He was a great man about cattle as well.
He
used to work with my father, and we with some bullocks, we kept them up to at Lumbert's Hill.
But of course, Hannan's had land always out the north road, yes.
Yeah.
That's where you originated from, the Hannans, I think.
That's right, yeah.
Yes.
And it was some...
Here you're getting a lesson in genealogy there now.
Yeah. Isn't it funny about Finbar and Patricia and Kim were saying there, it's just that the smell and the aroma, you know what I mean, sometimes brings you back to that time.
Yeah.
And what it was for me was the Hannans, of course, but one of y'all's most famous lanes, Cromwell's Arch, Water Lane, and
Murphy's
the smell
bakery.
Coming from Murphy's Bakery. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's quite a lot of stories, not going back to the 40s or 50s, Kevin, but my time you'd be leaving Tommy Mac's pub. And
no sooner have recovered from that then, would you have campaign his chips?
Yeah.
Right. Again, that was a bit before my time, but you'd get the odd loaf of bread for courtesy of the Murphys on your way home from the pub, maybe at 2 or 3 in the morning or something like that. But the smell was wonderful.
Healy's below, that used to, at the end
Donna
of my
Man.
Lane,
yeah.
That, she used to sell nets and fishing gear.
Yeah.
But she also had a snug, and you could have a refreshment in there. And she sold butter and bread and everything else. On one side, and the fishing tackle was on the other.
Kevin, what era did it change over from? Old Mikey Rush, the projectionist, told me that back in his day, he said if the women came into the pub, the men would walk out, and there was no singing pubs or anything like that,
no,
the snugs and all that kind of stuff. But what era did he?
This was back in the 30s and 40s.
Right,
yeah.
But where women had, we just see equal parity going into the pub, was that in the 70s?
No, that came in the 60s.
Yeah. And was it over a short period of time, or...?
No, you see, some women always went into the pub, you know. They couldn't care less anyway. But to be accepted socially, I'd say it was in the 70s. And lounge bars then replaced the snugs, you know.
So that's when the lounge bars came in,
that's
and the change
the,
in
yes,
the 60s.
Yes.
It's time to wrap up our little journey now. So I'd like to say thanks once again. We hope that you enjoyed the experience.
Street Down Memory Lane was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with a television licence fee. Presented by Kay Donnelly. Sound engineer, Paul Daly. Sound engineering and editing, Thomas O'Keefe. Produced by Thomas O'Keefe. Series producer, Angela Kearns. Researcher, Angela Kearns. We would like to sincerely thank all those who took part in this programme for their time, and most of all, for the memories. A Community Radio Yule production.